Cody got hurt in pregame a little bit yesterday, so just precautionary measures. He did play in the game for us and kicked well when he was in the game, but haven't gotten anything from today in terms of in for treatment and what's going on with him, but we'll see.
I do think was it a groin?
No, it's a new injury in his leg, so it's said he felt the pain. Obviously, he didn't get his kickoffs. Kind of adjusted how he was kicking the ball off. Didn't get his kickoffs where we normally get the kickoffs, but I thought he did a good job with that, and then obviously was consistent in the kicks that we asked him to do.
Roster move with a kicker, not imminent?
Nothing. No. Just everything's precautionary. Just make sure. We'll see what Cody's status is. Again, he obviously played in the game and was good in the game, so we'll just see where we'll go from here. So
you will try out kickers today, where there's some kickers coming into audition?
Yeah, but we usually do that. So we usually have workouts on today. So last week we had a couple guys in. The week before we had a couple guys in. So.
Kiko visiting Dr. Andrews?
Kiko went for a second opinion, yeah.
Just
to get a second opinion in terms of what our doctors saw, and then what most players here do, go get a second opinion. So.
Is surgery an option?
I have no idea. We haven't had any response back from what happened there. So.
What was the first opinion?
That he had a sprained knee.
That he could possibly come back this year?
No, it was always, he had a sprained knee, and they were going to evaluate it. So.
How about Gardner?
I got nothing on any injuries, so they all go. I meet with the trainer after this, so I know he went out of the game, and we'll see what happens when I get back and meet with Chris and Doc after this.
If you have to use Tobin there, what's your thinking? He seems to be better on the left side. Is that a problem?
That's not our thinking, no. Okay. So, and we haven't discussed anything because we don't know what Gardner's status is. So.
Did Coop have to leave the game at one point?
Yeah, Coop went out for a little bit, but he came back in, so.
He's fine.
Yeah, so I didn't get anything after the game about Coop, so.
Chip, what were the offensive problems in the second half?
You know, we just really didn't convert on a couple of those second and third downs. I think sometimes we had success on a first down, but second and third down, we were close, but we didn't, you know, just didn't convert. And it was a different breakdown on various things. A couple drops, you know, I think some of the drops have, we need to clean that up because obviously drives can really get extended on some of those plays were we're not getting our hands on the balls, but they were kind of varied in the situation in the second half.
Seems you're seeing them playing at a high level. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, been pleased with both Walter and Malcolm. You know, Malcolm's versatility to be able to come down and play nickel at times in certain looks or to cover slot receivers has been really good for us. But Walt has that ability also. They're interchangeable. It's kind of what we've always wanted to get. But I think both those guys are playing really well right now.
Sam Bradford giving you enough right now?
I think Sam's doing a good job. You know, again, there are some throws Sam probably wants back. You know, there's a couple in there that he missed, but there's also some drops, too, that I think that could have really extended some drives for us. So, but we're pleased with Sam right now.
None of your wide receivers other than Jordan had a catch yesterday. I don't think any of them has more than 40 yards through three games. Mm-hmm. Is that a concern, or is that just a product of what defense is doing?
I mean, we didn't play very well against the Dallas, so that doesn't – it is what it is, you know. We obviously moved the ball. We thought well in the Falcons game, and then moved the ball well again yesterday. So it just depends, you know. Obviously, there was a matchup out there with Revis and Cromartie at the outside spot. So really, part of our game plan was to attack the inside and to get our backs isolated on linebackers, which I thought we did, and I thought we were successful at.
So it's not a concern the two
three. We like winning. We don't care who does it or how it contributes to it, as long as you come out with the victory. So.
Is there a balance that a coach has in terms of where you line your quarterback up in the shotgun versus what the running back likes, perhaps if you like the quarterback under center, like for instance, like Peyton Manning loves the shotgun? Do you have to balance that when you're calling plays?
No, we don't. We don't talk about that.
What have you seen from Aguilar so far?
Nelson's done a nice job. You know, when his opportunities have come up, we just haven't had a lot of opportunities to get the ball out to him. You know, he ran. You know, we missed him once on a dig and then another on a backside post route where he did a good job running the routes and was open, but we just didn't get the ball to him on Sunday. But Nelson's done a really nice job since he's been here.
The tight ends haven't been a big part of the passing game either. I mean, Selleck played 46 snaps yesterday, wasn't targeted.
Yeah, we ran the ball a little bit more, and that's what we were trying to do against that look, to try to run the ball a little bit more. But I thought Zach contributed and made some big catches for us yesterday.
Yeah, the way the game kind of unfolded yesterday, you had the big lead in the first half. Marcus Smith didn't really get in with the defense at all. What does that say about it? Does he still really have a future here? Can you say that?
Yeah, he does have a future here. I just think each game expresses itself differently on how it is. And, you know, he was a lot He spent a lot more time in base defense in practice last week than nickel stuff, and we were in nickel. You know, they kind of abandoned the run from their standpoint, so we were a nickel and dime almost once we got up. You know, got the 24-0, it turned into a nickel and dime game for us defensively. So,
Hurts caught 15 passes against the Redskins last year. Mm-hmm. What dictates what gets the tight ends involved in the passing game?
Just coverage and how they're going to defend you. But, you know, it's an entirely new defensive coaching staff down there. So, you know, it's a new defensive style in terms of what they're doing. So, I don't you know, I can't look at last year. We as a staff, won't even look at last year's game just because Joe Barry's a new defensive coordinator and has been there. So you look at their preseason games and the three regular season games. So
when you drafted Jordan Hicks, you noted that you probably had more exposure to him than anybody during mm-hmm. the pre-draft process. Was that intentional, coincidence, or what did you see when you know, as you were taking him through that process?
Probably coincidence, I would say. Leaning towards intentional, you know, because obviously he was someone that caught our eye. But, you know, when you sit down and meet with him at the combine and then your coaches come back and say, hey, we had a really good meeting with him. We think we really need to, you know, boy, he's pretty sharp from a football standpoint. You know, that leads to, you know, you want to dig a little bit deeper and find out a little bit more about him. But, you know, right from the jump when we first started the interview process, just when you meet him and talk football with him, it's just – he's a very, very intelligent football player, and it showed in when we got a chance to sit down and talk with him, and then it showed right when we got here in OTAs and in minicamp. And, you know, he's one of those guys, and it's a compliment when we say it. He never acted like a rookie. He's got a maturity to him, and he's got a real good football mind in terms of being able to pick things up and diagnose things. So, you know, I probably a combination of both, to be honest with you.
What does Ryan Matthews play?
You guys open up the I know the lead obviously had something to do with that, but was there something that you guys saw, like, in playing that defense?
Yeah, it's what they do. I mean, they're an empty – they're one of their biggest deals is that they're an empty, you know, probably more than any team we play. You know, they let Fitzy sit back there, and he's obviously really intelligent at diagnosing and what they're doing, but they spend more time in empty than any team we've played in the last 2 years, and then this year. I don't know what's coming up down the road from some people, but, you know, that was part of the game plan. Obviously, you know, didn't get Ivory. You know, obviously they're probably a little bit different team with him in the game and maybe some more 21 personnel. But it's really, I think, we react to what they do. So when we see what goes in the game for them, you know, defensively we send in what we have. And it's the same thing for, you know, Todd sent in. He sees what's going in the game for us, and he sends in, you know, if we have two tight ends in the game, we're probably going to get more base. If we have one tight end or no tight ends in the game, we're going to get nickel or dime. So,
with the way Ryan Matthews played yesterday, regardless of the health of DeMarco Murray, does he deserve the bulk of the carries next week?
I have no idea. I mean, that's not a concern for any of us, so we don't really think about it. I could have two guys go down on Saturday, so he may be one of them going down, so he won't get any carries. So,
with the way he plays, is he better for the way this offense is playing right now?
Nah, DeMarco fits in perfectly with what we're doing, and Ryan fits in perfectly with what we're doing, and so doesn't Sproles, you know. So I hope, if God willing and the Pope can bless us again, all three of them will be available to us on Sunday against the Redskins.
It seems like Ryan Matthews gets around the edge a little quicker.
Okay.
Is that
that's Howard Eskin's opinion, man.
Okay, is that an incorrect observation?
I think he played really well on Sunday. That's a very good observation on your part.
How do you grade out after initial contact and breaking tackles? How do you do there?
He did a good job. Yeah. He's a physical runner. He does a nice job with the ball in his hands and can break contact at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, sometimes when there's not a real huge hole there that, you know, anybody can get through. I think when it's even, you know, there's an arm tackle or something like that, you know, he's a big physical runner and obviously runs behind his pads really well. He did a nice job after contact.
What does the unbalanced line do for you?
Just changes up the point of attack. You know, you're putting two tackles on one side and then you have a tight end on the other, so your passing strength is on one side but your run strength is on another side.
When you look at the offense, you had one good half, second half in Atlanta. You had good first half yesterday. I mean, what has to happen? What's the biggest thing that has to happen to play 60 good minutes on offense, be consistent through the whole game?
I don't want to be a wise guy, but I would say we need to play a good first half and a good second half. I mean, it's consistency in terms of things that we do right in the first half. We got to carry that over into the second half, and it's the same thing. Or if you start slowly and then turn it on in the second half. You just need to be more consistent over time.
Yeah, obviously, but why do you think you guys haven't been able to put together a full game?
Well, I think, again, it's inconsistency, you know, and it's not one specific thing. It could be a missed block by an offensive lineman, so on first and 10, we now turn into second and 14, so now you're behind the stakes. Or on third down, we have a great conversion, but we throw it and drop it, you know, so then we don't continue and stay on the field for that. And usually with this group, you get one first down, that leads to more first downs. It's really those opening, you know, those opening first three plays, and within there can't be any inconsistency in those three plays. So.
When Sam is off target, and there's a couple times in that game where he looked like he was throwing behind receivers, is that something technical that you're seeing? Or lack
yeah,
of
just setting his feet. No, I think on some of those he had time to set his feet, but was just off target with the throw, so that's just a, you know, kind of a fundamental thing. But then there's some other times, you know, he made an unbelievable throw on the – got flushed in a zero blitz and hit Jordan on the crosser that got it down to the half-inch yard line, and then Sproulsy ran it in for a touchdown, and then the one where they brought a zero blitz again and he scrambles out of the pocket and hits Sproulsy on a wheel route right in his hands are, you know, two outstanding throws. So it's just again, the same thing I just said. There just has to be a little bit with everybody on the offensive side of the ball. There has to be just more consistency in terms of what we're doing.
Another one was so accurate, you know, in more of a controlled environment during the preseason and training camp. So what happens once it gets into the game, or what has happened?
It's the same. I mean, you look at the Packers game, he took three or four shots with unblocked guys in his face and put the ball on players. So it all comes back to with everybody fundamentals in terms of what you're doing. And sometimes Sam reacts better when there's distress. You know, some of his best throws are when he's moving, you know, and people are coming on him and he has to do something to get out of things, but he's still consistent with his arm action and where he's putting the football.
Yeah.
So.
With Ertz, when he naturally rolled to his right and hit him.
Yeah, it was a scramble.
Yeah. So how do you balance that, what he's doing? It seems like, is he having more success out of the pocket than he is in the pocket, or is that just a product of...
No, I mean, the ball he threw to Matthews for a touchdown was a great throw that was in the pocket. So, I mean, I you can't look at two. You got to look at the whole entirety of how the game goes on, because he had two when he was flushed out of the pocket. You don't say, wow, we need to get him out of the pocket all the time, you know.
In December, you called Sproles the best practice player you've ever been around. What does that mean? What is he doing, practice?
Just every day. I mean, there's one speed with Darren. It doesn't matter. Every time he catches a punt, he scores a touchdown. And then when he goes out on the field, every time he gets blocked up pretty good, he's going to score a touchdown. I mean, there's a very consistent, going back to what we talk about, there's a consistent approach to Darren Sproles, and I've talked to our players about it. We point it out all the time as coaches. I've never been around a guy, and I've been around a lot of guys, that practices as consistently as hard as Darren does every single day. In walkthrough, we're done telling him to slow down and walk through, because he's not going to slow down and walk through. He goes full speed. And early, you're trying, hey, you got to do this. Doesn't matter. You know, if we have a walkthrough punt, he's going to catch a punt and run 60 yards with it and try to score a touchdown. And the guys we have to stop, to be honest with you, and you can ask Donnie Jones, I've stopped Donnie from trying to chase him because I'm afraid Donnie will pull a hamstring. You know, but that's just the way he's built and the way he's wired. And we always talk about you sync to your level of training, and what you see on Sundays from Darren is what we see every single day, whether it's a walkthrough or whether it's a practice. That's just, you know, it's an amazing thing to watch. I wish more players would emulate it, because it's, you know, it seems like a pretty good formula that's working.
Are you seeing more drops this year than maybe in the past? I mean, imagine you guys keep track of all that, right?
Yeah, I don't know if we've seen more, but I just think it seems like they're at critical times. You know, it's a third and three, and it's the third down's going to convert, and then there's a drop. You know, those maybe it's just magnified a little bit that way. You know, a drop on third down is a little bit more magnified than a drop on first down, but a drop is still a drop.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of those could have been like
big plays. Yeah, we know that. They know that. You know, I know it's consistency is probably the word that keeps coming up today. So
focus, lack of focus, something like
there's
that.
A lot of different factors involved in it. So
how's the separation in terms of the receivers? Are they getting open? Are you seeing the separation they need to get?
Yeah, certain spots. But, I mean, there's some spots that were, you know, you're talking about Darrell Revis. It's a little bit different than, you know, going against other corners in the league. But Nelly a couple times had them. But,
over
you know,
three
over three games now, I thought they've been pretty good. We've had guys open.
I think you guys are number one in rush defense, 3.1 yards through three games. Nobody's really running on you. What do you see? And that's with some different personnel yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see from that group against the run?
Consistency. I mean, there's been great effort. You know, I think on our base defense, we've got guys that can set edges. We have guys that really do a good job at two-gapping, and Benny and Sed. you know, and Fletch, and then Brandon Bear, who's played well. Taylor Hart, when he was in there, has played well. We've got, you know, a consistency, even though we're rotating players along the defensive line, we've got consistency there. I think our linebackers know exactly where the ball's going. So, you know, Jordan's really adapted and has fit in really well there in his first extended playing time. So, we're getting a lot of consistent play in terms of what we're asking our guys to do. They're doing on the defensive side of the ball. And, if it forces people to be one-dimensional, then, you know, you hope you have a little bit of advantage because you kind of know what's coming. But I think we've been really consistent in our rush defense. And you got to stop the run. You know, so if you can make teams one-dimensional, then all of a sudden things can change a little bit for you. So
behind the defensive game plan, Billy didn't blitz much, used a lot of dime.
Yeah, I said that yesterday. I think just because Fitzy gets the ball out so quickly, you know, you're not really sure getting blitzing is going to get to him. So we wanted to get more eyes and vision on the quarterback. Rolled a lot of things to Marshall, even though Marshall still had, I think, 10 catches for 100 yards or so. But we still tried to roll things to him because there was definitely a lead receiver in that defense, in that offense, and things were kind of dictated off of him. So wanted to vision and break on the football more, disrupt the throwing lanes with our pass rush. Obviously, Brandon Bear did a great job with that, getting three tips. Benny BG had a hit on an arm that caused an incomplete pass. So I think we kind of got him flushed a little bit and kind of off mark a little bit. But we wanted to be able to vision and break on the football so that we kept the ball in front of him, and they did a good job of that.
Speaking of that, Byron Maxwell, how did you see his day after looking at the film?
There were some ups and downs in there. A couple times when he was isolated, there were some plays there, and he had a penalty, a hold in front of our bench, but there was a little bit more. There was more consistency out of Byron's game here as we've gone on to in week three. So I thought he's improved as the season's come along.
What did you see? Did Eric Rowe kind of show you something? Because obviously, when he came in, the Jets kind of seemed like they went right at him.
Yeah, which you anticipate, you know, when you got a new corner in the game. But he's been bouncing around a little bit, you know, in terms of where he's been playing, been inside, been outside, been at some safety, which you have to do if you're not the starter. But I think he's been consistent when he's been outside at corner in the last couple of weeks, and felt comfortable if we were going to put him in the game at corner. Did a good job. And Devin Smith, who was the receiver he was covering, can run. You know, he's a real speed guy that they took high out of Ohio State. So we kind of knew that was going to be a good challenge for him. And he had two passes thrown on him. One of them was a real good breakup on him, and the second one was he did a good job of flipping his hips and kind of shielding the receiver towards the sideline and made a real good play on the ball. So hopefully for Eric, it's what we felt. You know, he'll continue to gain some confidence in himself because we believe he'll be a really good corner.
Two more Argos can't go. Who's
the
next guy?
Did he earn more playing time going?
We'll see. I say this all the time. I have no idea. We could have seven guys get hurt on Friday, and then he's going to start for us. So for us to come in today and say Eric Rowe's going to play more, we wait till we get all the injury reports, who's going to practice, who's going to be where, and then we'll sort it out towards the end of the week.
He had kind of a tough game up there against the Jets in the preseason. How did you see him respond to that in practice and just his, you know?
He's been really, really good. You know, I think he understands that if you play that position in this league, you're going to get – people are going to catch a ball on you. You know, no one's going to shut you down for every – no one's going to shut anybody down for every single play. So I thought he really handled it very well and has really trained at a real high level since that game. And even up until that game, he didn't play very well in that game, but he didn't let that affect him. He doesn't hang his head, doesn't, you know, mope, doesn't go around here carrying the weight of the world on him. He's like, hey, it's an opportunity for me to learn from what I did and how can I improve and how do I get better moving forward. So
would he be ready to be that safety if Maragos can't go?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.